All right, Tape Traders, welcome to another edition of the Tape Traders Guide to 90s Pro Wrestling. I am your host, J.D. Sloan. Tonight, I'm going to welcome a journeyman of a sort of pro wrestler in the Tennessee area, Mr. Quentin Charisma. I've known Quentin for a few years now, and actually, back in the days, actually used to tape trade with him. Before I ever even knew who he was or even myself was involved in the business in any way. He's a great guy. He's going to have some great stories. This will be the first of many appearances for Quentin. Later down the road, we're going to do a once-a-month Tennessee corner type of segment on the show where Quentin will come on and tell a great story from this area, from Tennessee and Kentucky. So tonight we're just going to kind of get to know him and talk his career and how he got started and different things like that. Real quick, unfortunately, the world of professional wrestling and specifically the Tennessee area lost a brother, and I wanted to dedicate this show to Shane Small. Shane wasn't someone that I personally knew. I may have met him maybe twice, I believe, at the most, maybe three times. But many people that I know and respect knew him very well, and this is a hard time for them. And so I wanted to make sure that, you know, we did what was right and, made sure to, you know, say his name. And, you know, all you out there listening, if you don't know who Shane Smalls is, you know, go to YouTube and Google his name and check out his work. You know, it's important that we remember all of the brothers and sisters that were part of this great industry. And you know, by all accounts, from everyone that I know, from Jeremiah Plunkett to Paul Adams, to everyone that I've seen, you know, I talked to Johnny Bandana yesterday and even LT Falk, and, you know, he seemed to be a great guy, a parent and, you know, a father, and a friend to many. So I want to dedicate tonight to Shane Small. Also, something that's, you know, not quite the same, but also sad. Sean Schultz announced his retirement yesterday. Again, you know, if you don't know who Sean Schultz is, I highly recommend you jump on YouTube and Google his name. You know, from AIW to Burt Prentice Promotions to Arcadian Wrestling Association. You know, Sean is someone who's been in the business for a long, 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 long time. And he's one of those guys that, you know, by all accounts, had everything that was needed to have everything that was needed. Unfortunately, years and years worth of injuries have hurt his body and put him in a position that he had to call it quits. You know, in the wrestling business, you never really know who's actually going to retire and who's not. I hope that, you know, for Sean's health, that this is the right decision for him and that he doesn't come back from something that he shouldn't. You know, it'll be sad that he's no longer a part of shows in this area and won't be someone that you'll see often. But by all accounts, you know, Sean is another one of those guys that has friends throughout the world because of professional wrestling. And so I highly recommend, please go check him out. You know, check him out on social media. He's on Twitter. He's on Facebook. There's a lot of stuff out there on YouTube of Sean Schultz. There's a lot of stuff out there of Shane Smalls. You know, make sure you check these people out and you see what they're all about. So, well, we're going to get to Quentin. So let me get Quentin on the line and we'll be right back. All right, everyone. So I've got Quentin on the phone. Quentin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I really, really, really want to thank you for coming on tonight. I'm really excited about you doing this because it's so funny. I had talked to you online long before I ever actually knew you or knew who you were.
Yeah.
We were both members of a group called Crazy Max, which was a tape trading thing. And I always, like, you always had the coolest stuff because you had Nashville stuff. And I had just kind of moved to the area, and so you were one of the only people that I knew that had that kind of local, you know, Nashville stuff, and I loved it so much because I'm from the West Coast and I never saw any of that kind of stuff. So I really do want to thank you for doing this and taking the time to sit down and do this with me, man.
No problem. I'm glad I can do it.
All right, so let's kind of jump in real quick on a sad note. I opened the show before I got you on the line, and I just kind of, you know, I wanted to dedicate tonight to Shane Smalls, the memory of him. He wasn't someone that I knew personally, and so, you know, I don't have a great story to say, but I want to make sure that the people that are listening to this, you know, will go on Google and will go on YouTube and look him up and show him a little bit of love and appreciation. You know, could you give us kind of, knowing him personally, could you give us some stories about him or, you know, just talk about him a little bit?
Yeah, the first time I met Shane Smalls was in 2006. It's when I first came back and started working after my car wreck. It was a show in Metropolis. I actually wasn't working. Tony Falk was running it with some guys up there. I can't remember actually the group that was running it with Tony, but I went up there with Jablonski and JP, Jeremiah Plunkett.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I went up there and then we will stay at the night and go to the casino and all that. So I'll go up there with you. So I wasn't doing anything, and I was going to film Mike and JP's match for him, and so I got in there, and so we were there, and like the first match was these two, you know, young kids. I didn't know. Only person I knew on the card, besides Mike and JP, LT and Mark Anthony was there, but there was this guy out of Kentucky, and my mind just went blank. So his name? I'll 30 minutes, it'll pop in my head. Anyway,
right.
Oh, Brandon Walker. Brandon Walker's his name. Yeah. He was on that show, and I met him on shows, when he, you know, years and years and years ago. But that's the only people I knew on the show. The rest was all these young kids, and, the first match was these two young kids. So I was, you know, watching it, and I remember the first one out there at the heel, he had on a skirt, and I think he was actually using a British accent, and I was like, okay. So I was watching the match, and I'll never forget the finish. I don't even know what this move was, but it was Shane Smalls, this other kid. Some kid had Smalls up and just, I'm going to drop you straight down his head. I thought he killed him. I was like, oh, my God, this kid just killed this other kid, you know?
Yeah.
And they carried him to the back and everything, and, you know, that first match, I didn't know who he was, you know? But I always remember the first time I ever saw him was, he got dropped straight down his head, and I thought he was dead, you know? But, and then, you know, later on, when I was working for, Tony at USWO, they brought him back. He had a partner, I can't remember what his name was. They came in and they started working. So I started, you know, getting to know him from, you know, from USWO, and, you know, I try to watch as much of his stuff I could. I said, man, this kid is, you know, for the new style, you know.
Right.
I was like, he's really good at working that style. And he had a good attitude. You know, he didn't know who I was. I mean, a lot of those guys,
right.
Young kids had no clue who I was. You know, but he always would call me sir, shake my hand, and show me respect when a lot of them, you know, they had no idea who I was.
Right.
You know, but I guess somebody told him, you know, I've been working forever, you know. I remember he always showed me respect, you know, and which a lot of these young kids would just saw me as some big fat old guy, you know. But I always remember he always showed me respect, and because like I said, I always try, you know, when I'm on the show, I try to watch a little bit of, you know, what I can of his work, and I noticed he was just getting better and better, and you know, and I always tell him, said, man, you know, keep at it, you got potential, you know, style you work, you know.
Right.
I just kept watching, and I remember, I want to say, I was booking, if you want to call it that, booking in Laverne, and I brought him in as, he had this gimmick called Number One Bob, and it was a mask gimmick, and I loved it. It was hilarious, and nobody would use him doing the Number One Bob gimmick, but I was like, dude, you coming to you that? And a guy named Jeremy Travis from Kentucky, they came in. He had a thing called Police Navi Dots. And, you know, it was like a is this comedy, you know? And I just thought it was hilarious, some two together doing these two gimmicks. You get mass gimmicks is just fun. I loved it. But I told them, you know, y'all guys are ready. Y'all need to start going up north and getting bookings.
Right, right.
I said, y'all are ready to go. I said, y'all style, you could go work Chikara. You know, at that time, was it Jersey All Pro?
Yeah.
All those indies up north. I said, y'all could go up there and work. I said, y'all can do it. Y'all, you know, best style. I said, you know, and at that time, Rick Thing and Chuck Taylor had been one up there. You know, they done starting to get their names out big time, you know.
Right.
And, Chuck and Jimmy Travis, they kind of started together. They worked for Tony back at the old USWO and the old building in Madison. So I've seen Jeremy work before. So, and at that time, I thought Jeremy was actually better than Chuck.
Oh, but really?
Chuck was the one. Yeah, I thought Jimmy Travis was so talented. And, you know, and same with Stout. I said, y'all guys need to go. I said, y'all wasting your time here. And I don't know, you know, money-wise, you know, they couldn't have, you know, because you wouldn't. When you first go up there, you know, those guys weren't making much, you know, money.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Like Ricochet and Chuck, you know, they first started going to Chikara and stuff like that. They weren't making a lot of money. But, you know, for that style, that's the places to go. You know, working in USWO, you're not going to, they ain't going to do anything for you, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, so I tell them, so every time I'd see them, you know, then after, you know, I'd see them like once a month, once every so many months at, you know, other shows. They're like, guys, you go north, you know, you go north, you know. I always told Shane, I said, man, you need to go. I don't know, you know, why they ever tried or not, but I think Shane Smalls was so talented. I don't think people realize how talented that kid was.
Yeah.
And, well, his offbeat goofiness is just, it made him different from everybody else, you know?
Right, and, right.
You know, just in the dressing room, you know, he just, I don't know, something about him. I never saw him, well, I just seen him bad mood a couple of times. But he's always smiling, goofing off, just, it's really sad, you know. And we're talking about the other night, you know, it's like a kick in the stomach, man, I don't know what was going on. You know, I hadn't seen him in years. You know, been about 4 years probably. You know, and just it's so sad because he got, you know, away from wrestling. He had two little kids and everything. And we don't know what goes on, you know, with people. But you know, just looking back, you know, it's sad that kid had so much talent that if he had the opportunity, you know, he could have did, you know, who knows where he could have ended up because the kid was super talented and had the best attitude, you know?
Right, right.
You know, when I was helped book USWO, like a crawl left, you know, and I'd give him a finish. He never complained. I'd give him a finish. Thank you, sir. You know, and
right.
Then when I brought him in Laverne, you know, I'd give him a finish. He didn't, you know, thank you, sir. I mean, he was so, you know, to be, you know, and I see guys through the years come through with just horrible attitudes, young kids, and he had the best attitude. You know, I mean, what I saw he did, you know, I might have another opinion of him, but, I mean, to me, I never saw, you know, he always, you know.
Yeah, everyone that I've talked to.
What do you have to do?
Everyone I've talked to in the last couple of days, you know, they've all kind of said the same thing, that he was just, you know, that he was just a good guy. I mean, that's really what I've heard. I mean, you know, I haven't heard anything else other than he was a good guy and just how sad it is. And so, you know, like I said, I didn't know him personally, but anytime that someone passes, I think, you know, especially, and I mean that in a general way, but I think when anybody that passes that's part of a community like ours, And I know when I see like my friends like LT or Bandana or, you know, Derek Neal, when I see their pain, you know, it makes me feel that same kind of pain just because I'm so sad that they've lost someone that's so close to them that was a part of this entire community, you know? So, which is the reason why, you know, I wanted to make sure we get his name out on there today, because I'm sure a lot of people that are outside of the Nashville area may not be as familiar with him and may not know about this passing. And, you know, I want people to actively go out there and this is a tape trading, you know, podcast. And so I want people to go out there and look him up, you know, and watch him and appreciate him now, you know, if they didn't, since they didn't get a chance to before.
Yeah. Actually, I think he might be, I ain't for sure, but I know, Tony and Kroll, they ran, the fairgrounds on Christmas night of 06, and they had a, like a cruiserweight match. I think it was like 10 guys in it. I think he might have been in it.
Oh, really?
Because I think, I'm not for sure. I think he might have been one of the guys in it. I need to check and see. I'm sure Kroll's got it. Maybe he's not in to go. People need to check that out. Matt, that was great. Actually, that whole card was good. That was a really good show. But
that Christmas night show?
What's that?
That Christmas night show?
Yeah, it was really a good card. But I think he was in that big, it was like a 10 man or something like that. But no, Shane was really good. And just, I don't think he realized how good he was. And it's just, it's really sad that,
Yeah. Well, at least there, you know, so many have such good memories, you know, at least everyone can hold on to that and know that they've got great memories of a great guy. So,
Goodbye.
Well, it's hard to, you know, move on from something sad like that, but so, you know, let's kind of move on into your career. And then maybe at the end of the show, you know, I've been looking for a good interview that I can put up of him, and maybe I'll be able to find one to kind of attach at the end of this. When I, you know, like I said, I met you, it would have been 2009 maybe, cause Reno was doing Showtime and you were, I believe you were working for Tony, right? At the time?
When the first time I met you?
Yeah.
Like first physically met you or online?
Yeah, no, physically met me. I believe it was like around 2009.
I want to say it was early 2009.
Right. Yeah. It was a while ago. That's for sure. But you know, when we met and everything, we started talking and stuff, and I did not know until today, actually, when I'm looking you up and I'm looking through results and you know, just different things like that online. You know, I did not know that you started your career so early. So long ago. I had no idea. I honestly thought that we were like around the same age, man. Like, I had no idea. No. So if you don't mind, take us back to first, were you a wrestling fan when you grew up?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And are you from here, from the Tennessee area?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Mount Juliet.
Okay. So who did you watch when you were a kid?
The first really memory I have with of wrestling, watching it was, I want to say probably, I'm sure I watched it before, but the one I can really remember was probably when I was about 6 or 7. I used to go to my dad's on the weekends, and my granddad lived on the same property as my dad, so I'd go down to my granddad's, to his trailer, and I always tell him to turn on the wrestling. And he would never turn on. He's like, "Oh, that's fake stuff." But I would go. But the reason I'd go down to his trailer because he'd always eat ice cream at that time every Saturday morning. So I'd go down there, and then he'd never turn it on to wrestling. So after the ice cream's over, I'd go back up to my dad's house, and he would turn it on there, and we'd watch it. And my favorite, and a lot of people don't remember who this guy is, but there for, you know, first few years, I can remember watching my favorite wrestler. Was a guy named Jerry Barber.
Okay.
He was Gulas. He was at Mainstay. I don't think he worked the Memphis end of the territory. It probably was very rare, but he did Nashville, Chattanooga, Huntsville, Birmingham. You know, he did the east end of the territory, and you know, he was a Gillis mainstay forever. And but if you look at him, you really think he's a wrestler. I think if he was just a, you know, he was just that good old Southern baby face, you know. And
right, he looked like a guy in a bar, right? He looked at it like a guy that got off of work, went and had a couple beers, was your next door neighbor.
I don't know about going to the bar, maybe, but looks like your next door neighbor, you know. So he wasn't real big.
Uh-huh.
You know, he wasn't fat, but he wasn't muscled. He just like your old, he just a good guy, you know. He's just like a good old fella, you know.
Yeah.
And he was always at Gillis Wrestling, you know, so he saw him all the time, you know, and he was like, I think he was like the 6-man tag champions at one time, and you know, I think tagged a couple of times, you know. He was, you know, that mainstay mid card guy, you know.
Yeah.
And then when Gillis shut down and we actually started getting the Memphis TV here in Nashville, you know, so you know, then Jerry Lawler, you know, became my favorite, you know, and you know, the early '80s, and you know, they just, you know, just started watching, you know, and by, I won't say probably 86, 87, you know, teenager. I'm like, you know, I think I want to do it. I was like, hey, I'm going to play baseball or I'm going to become a wrestler.
Right. And
I couldn't hit a fastball, so that was out of the question. So I decided I'm going to become a wrestler, you know. So I just kept up with it and just kept watching it. And around, I want to say it was 1990. Sorry, you know, trying to look into getting, you know, training and stuff. And Jarrett, they had a school out there in Harrisonville. I don't think they were doing it in Harrisonville yet. Somebody was doing the training for them at the fairgrounds. I want to say maybe Dutch Mantel, maybe. I'm not for sure. So was it
one of those things that would happen like before the Saturday night shows, or was it on a different day?
I think they did it on Sundays because we were asking about it. We were talking to, they said after matches one week at Nashville at the fairgrounds. And then this guy named Mark, this guy I grew up with, went to school with, his name was Mark Taylor. They went on to be Mark Gordy. We were trying to find a foot in the door. So, you know, so we thought, like, Jeff Jarrett was sitting after the mat, you know, getting in his car. So, hey, you have a training, you know, a reference school? And he said, yeah, they have it here. He said, on Sunday afternoons, it was like $75 a session. And we're like, oh, crap.
Wow.
You know, there was no way in the world we could afford that, you know?
Yeah.
So so we just like, oh, man, this ain't, you know. Then Mark talked to a guy one time. He saw an ad somewhere. I don't know if it was in the newspaper or it was on the radio. But he saw an ad for wrestling training, and he called the number, and it turned out it was Tom Burton. And he gave him, they wanted a big down payment and all this. He took, you know, weekly payments, but we had a down payment. And, you know, I was in between jobs, you know, just out of high school.
Uh-huh.
Mark, we did part-time job. We had no money, you know.
Well, yeah.
I was working at HBO grocery store part-time, so... we don't have the money for that. So, I know I'm taking forever. I'm horrible about stories. I've taken long ways around on stories.
Oh,
anyway,
no, please, so, keep doing that.
Okay, so, one day Mark, he was hurt and he had to go to the hospital or something. He was in the hospital or sick. He was in the hospital. And, he met this guy who told him his best friend wrestled in Hartsville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
So, and he gave, this guy was at the hospital with Mark, gave Mark this number for this guy in Hartsville. So Mark, like he got when he got out of the hospital a few days later, he called the guy and started talking to the guy. He told and you know about he didn't say nothing about training. He said, "I heard y'all have wrestling up there," and he said, "Yep." Yeah. And the guy and I came in. The guy said, "Yeah, we're looking for you want a wrestler? We're looking for always looking for wrestlers." And I think I got the story. I'm not for sure, but I know it's been so long. It's like by this time, this is 91.
Okay.
By this time. So I think, I can't remember what Mark actually told him, David Schroeder. I can't remember if he told him, I can't remember. But anyway, so Mark said, "Hey, man, let's go up and talk to this guy about wrestling." So we got, so it was a Saturday night. They said they do it every Saturday night in Hartsville, Tennessee. So we got in the car, drove up there. We got there real early. And so we started talking to people out there on this porch. And it was like the guy who ran it, actually ran the show, his name was Donnie Fargo, but he wasn't the original.
Right, right.
Don Fargo. This was one of them out of Kentucky. He actually ran the show there. But so we started talking to him and so he's like, "So y'all guys, y'all want to wrestle?" Like, "Yeah, we want to wrestle." And I forgot to, this is the main thing I forgot to tell you. Back in 89, when I used to go to the shows at the fairgrounds, me and Mark, they had a thing, actually they had a thing in the program for wrestling school. And Mark called it, and it was Dutch Mantel. The kid had it was just a tryout, and it was it was like $400 just to try out. And like I said, and so that was in 89. So we were still in high school, part time job. This is where I got $400. But I took Mark down to the fairgrounds. It was on a Sunday afternoon. I drove down there, and it was him and two other guys. And so Dutch got his car and says, he's like, "Okay, so is it y'all four?" And I said, "No, I'm his ride." They said, "All right, well, you need to go on the other side of the fairgrounds." So I was like, "This sucks. Like, I can't watch, So I was like, so I drove, like I was going around the other side, and I drove around back on the back side of one of the agriculture buildings in the park so I could still see him because he never took him in the building.
Uh-huh.
He made him for like 2 hours. Just running around and do calisthenics and all kinds of stuff. I guess they try to blow them up,
Right.
And for like 2 hours straight, it was Mark and these two guys. So after it was over with, the guys, Dutch told him, he told Mark, "If you want to start training, you can. It's so much blah, 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 blah. And, money and everything." And he told one guy to, it ain't going to happen. Another guy, they tell us, it's going to be blah, 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 this much money. So, anyway, so we're still in high school, so that,
sure.
That didn't pay,
Sure.
So Mark didn't do it, to the training or anything. But so, go back to when we get to Hartsville, and the guy, that I thought was, "So who was y'all trained by?" And Mark goes, "I'm trained by Dutch Mantel." And I was like, I ain't saying a word, I'm just going with it. So the guy that Mark actually talked to shows up, and he's like, "Hey, I'm Mark. We talked to you." "Okay, but come on." He's like, "Okay, I guess come on in." So we go in there, and we start talking. He's like, "I see all these guys coming in. They broke in the dressing room. Never been in the dressing room in my life.
Right.
And so I'm looking at these guys, and I'm looking at everything. And so the guy owns the promotion. He's the booker too. Because he was like, "What's your guys' names?" And I was like, "I have no idea, And I just told him my shoot name first and last, And Mark told him his name. And so I get on the mic. They said, "Next week, we got debuting." And they told our names. I'm like, "Oh, my gosh." So it comes over, and the guy's like, "Y'all be here next week, right?" We're like, "Yeah, we'll be here." So we get in the car. We're driving back to Mount June. I said, "Dude, what just happened?" I said, "I guess we're wrestling, man." I was like, "I guess we are." I was like, "What are we going to wear? We have nothing, And this is like November of 91, I think.
Oh, wow.
Like first week of November of 91, I'm pretty sure. And so I was like, "Man, we got to find something." I was like, Well, I had some old spandex biker shorts, and I was like, okay, I can wear those. And I was like, Mark had some old knee pads, like some bike or something like that. You know, he got it at Walmart or Kmart.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got some knee pads. I got two sets of knee pads. I was like, all right. And I was like, what am I going to do for boots? And I was like, I don't know. He said, I'm going to call around and, what about some boxing boots? I said, well, that'll work for now. So we got looking around that week, like Monday, I think it was. He called me and said, hey man, I got some boots. I said, really? He said, $35. I was like, where? He said, Walter Nipper's Sporting Goods downtown 8th Avenue. I was like, oh, cool. So I got paid on Thursdays.
Oh boy.
So, yeah, so Thursday, I went and picked him up. We went and got my check at Ashton Hill, cashed it. We went down to downtown Nashville to 8th Avenue to Walter Nipper Sporting Goods and walked in there, and the boots were the old school Everlast Muhammad Ali edition.
Oh, wow.
They were white. They were white with the red and white they were white, and then you had like a blue tongue.
Yeah.
I think it was a blue tongue, and then the leather on the outlets that went up, that leather was red. And then had a little, like a little circle, Muhammad Ali Everlast patch on it. I was like, well, that's going to come off. So we popped those off because there's just hot glue on, you know?
Right.
And it had like a rubber sole, but it was the worst rubber soles. They were horrible. But they looked good. I mean, if it would have had like some crate on them, they would have been fine.
Right.
But so we got those. And so I was like, okay, so we were ready, you know, like Saturday, you know, comes. I get off at like 5 o'clock at Ashton Hill and Donaldson, get in the car, go pick up Mark. We're driving up there. I said, man, dude, I'm nervous. He's like, I am too. He's like, no, what are we going to, we've never been trained before. You know? I'm like, what are we going to do? I was like, I'll talk for it. I was like, all right, you know. So, I mean, we were smart to, you know,
right.
Basically of doing it was a work and, you know, and actually, I'm going to rewind again a little bit. We used to say there was like a 6 month period back in 88 when we'd go to the fairgrounds on Saturday nights. We would stay after the show. We'd go outside. And when the ring stayed there, it's just that last Saturday in the month, you know, because the flea market, they took
right.
it down, but the rest of the time, that ring stayed up. And the Jarretts, they didn't lock the building up.
Oh, wow.
We were there one night late, and we realized, hey, they don't lock the building up. The fairgrounds, the Tennessee State Fairgrounds security goes through and locks it up.
Oh.
So we're like, hey, so one night we sit there and waited, and they didn't come to like an hour. It was like 11:30, almost 12 o'clock when they came and locked the doors. So it's like, so we stayed. So, you know, matches were over like at 10. Everybody cleared out about 10:30. So we go back in there. It was me and him. And every now and then we have a couple of different friends from high school go with us. And we're getting there and wrestle in the ring.
Right.
You know? And we did this for like 6 months. And one of the person that was locking it up at the time was this lady. And she would just let us go. She said, because I thought I have it locked by 12.
Like, wow.
What you got to do? You know, y'all will do whatever. At 12 o'clock, I got to lock it up. It's okay. We did it for like 6 months, you know? And then one night, we were sitting there, and about 11, we were left around, like, this guy comes in and starts screaming at us. We're like, what the crap? There's a different security guard. He's like, you can't be in that ring. You can't be in that ring. Don't you ever get in that ring unless you have a sign. Letter from Christine Jarrett. And then I was like, so there were 6 months that we had fun.
Right.
And it got boom. You know, so we knew, you know, a little, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. You were used to you knew enough to, I can't imagine the nerves that you.
So we go, so we get there. We go in, you know, we're sitting there, and they come over and give us a match. The match that we're going to work.
Right.
And I was like, all right. And I think it was Ray Spears and somebody else. I'm not for sure. And then So we worked the match, and I mean, for what it was, you know, they didn't say it was bad or good. So, so it's like a low level indie, you know, promotion, you know?
Right, right.
Back then, there weren't a lot of indie promotions.
Right,
they
and
were very, you know.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's right outside of Lebanon, right?
Yeah, Hartsville is in between Lebanon and Lafayette.
So it's a very small community or small little unincorporated town.
No, it's incorporated, but it's very small.
Okay.
I think it's a small county in Tennessee.
Okay.
All they have is a Sonic and a McDonald's.
Oh, wow.
When we was up there in 91, 92, they only had a Sonic.
So it was very
Subway now.
So as far as indie wrestling goes, it was very, very small. It was a low level, small show.
It was the lowest level indie you go. So like I said, back then there was not many indie shows.
Right, right.
You know, compared to nowadays when there's, you know, every town's got two to three.
Right.
You know, Middle Tennessee at that time maybe had two indie shows. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
so it was almost a great way for you to start learning. So I'll let you go on. So how long were you working that town, that show?
We actually worked there 2 months before we went somewhere else, started working somewhere else.
Really? So they kept asking you back, though?
yeah, some friends. Oh, but it gets better. Let me finish the first night. Okay, we do a tag match, you know, we go under, you know, no big deal. You know, they didn't get numb, so nobody got hurt. You know, like, so I'm like, cool.
Right.
And then we're sitting there after our night, and the guy, the booker, came over and told Mark, hey, come here for a minute. I said, me and you are going to wrestle in the main event. We're going to work in the main event. And he was the champion. First night in. Mark, we go to the tag match. We lose. Main event, he puts Mark in the main event, and he puts Mark over for the belt.
Wow.
Put him out first night in. Yeah.
Never trained?
Is that crazy? What's that?
Wow.
I mean, you know? So we come back. I think he loses the next week, if I can't remember. January. So we're like, okay, they were drawing like 10, 15 people.
Okay.
Yeah, it was basically the workers' family. I mean, it wasn't drawn.
Right, right.
We actually got paid. I think we did five shows. First 2 months, I think we did like five shows there, and I think we got paid two of the five. We got like $3 twice. You know, but we had 10, 15 people. I was shocked.
Right, right.
But then they shut down for like 3 weeks, and they actually put up like four posters in the town and shut down for like the 3 weeks, and then they came back and ran a show, and we actually drew like 80 people, and we actually got $5.
Oh, what? Hey, yeah.
And I think it was like $5 I think we got that night. But me and Margaret were sitting there talking one day, and I was like, man, I'm going to go, you know, wrestle somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and this is funny because we went, like, the next Saturday, they didn't have a wrestling in Hartsville. So we went to the fairgrounds. So we went to the fairgrounds, and we stayed after the matches, and Jeff Jarrett was getting in his car. Like, hey, man. He's like, hey, guys. He's like, y'all still looking at that train? He's like, hey, man, we're actually wrestling now. I was like, y'all are? You're wrestling? He's like, yeah, we're wrestling in Hartsville, Tennessee. He's like, who runs that? I said, Donnie Fargo. And he said, Old Man Fargo? I said, no, it's a different one. He said, okay. I thought he was in Florida. I said, it's a different one. And they said, and we go, what? How can we get on the show here? You know, maybe like the first night, couple of matches. He's like, I thought you got to talk to Eddie. You got to go do TV and work. You got to do some, matches on TV. And then, you know, we'll see about maybe, you know, getting me on some spot shows.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know what spot shows we're in, man. Well, what are you talking about? If you want anything, you know, you go do jobs on TV and go from there, basically. But okay, I said, you know any other promoters that, you know, promotions that might be looking for some guys. He said, there's a guy down in, that used to work for us who was the promoter for our Lewisburg and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. When we ran shows down there, we had the promoter for us down there who did our promotion was a guy named Sammy Manier. He said, he's in the phone book down there. Just look him up. Tell him that I told you to call him. So Monday morning, Mark gets called information. She was Sammy Manier, Lewisburg, Tennessee. They give the number. He calls Sammy. He says, hey, my name is, blah, blah, blah. And I can't remember what he was actually. I think he was just still using Mark Taylor. His shoot name. He said, me and my partner, you know, we've been working in Hartsville, Tennessee, and we talked to Jeff Jarrett. He told us to call you about you still run some towns, and you might be looking for some guys. And he said, yeah. So we got a big. He goes, yeah, okay. Just told you to call me. We're like, yeah. And so he said, I'll tell you what. So I got a show January 20. I'm gonna say 8. I can't remember. It was the night before the Super Bowl. I remember that.
Uh-huh.
In 92, January 92. He said, we got a big show in Fairview, Tennessee. He said, my booker is Chris Champion. He said, I'll tell you what. Would you guys come down there? I want you to talk to Chris. You know, I can't guarantee you'll work, or if you do work, guarantee you any money.
Right.
But come down and talk to him, you know, and you know, we'll go from there. I was like, okay, cool. So the next week, Hartsville ran again. So we went back to Hartsville, and we was talking, and we was working with this guy named Ray Spears, which he still works around here, like Lafayette and Lebanon and places like that. So we started, yeah, we're going to go in the month. We're going to go work. And he's like, you know, I go, oh, really, where? You know, and he's like, and, you know, we didn't know, you don't tell people, you know.
Sure.
And the promotion you're working for, you're a piece of leading us somewhere else. Oh, yeah, we called this guy named Sammy Manier and all this, blah, blah, blah. So Ray gets on the phone next day, calls Sammy Manier, he gets on the show in Fairview. Ray calls Mark, says, hey, man, can I ride down with y'all? And I was like, okay. So we all ran, so Saturday night, on the 20, whatever, we drive down to Fairview. Get to the door, push the door, and they'll say, hey, we need to talk to Sam Manier. They say, okay, we'll go get him. And they come back, and he goes, hey, Mark, I talked to you on the phone. Now, this is Greg, this is Ray, blah, 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 blah. So, okay, he said, all right, come over here. So he walk to the side, we're inside the school, you know, in front of the entrance there, and then inside, and he goes, we'll go get Chris. So Chris comes over, and he's like, hey, guys, he's like, you know, what's your name? He's like, you guys wanting to work, huh? I'm like, yeah. He's like, he looked at Mark and goes, man, I know you from somewhere, and you look familiar. And we didn't want to say, yeah, we're from the fairground, you know, but, you know, we didn't. So he said, okay, guys, come. You got the gear? I'm like, yeah. So come on back. So we went on back. We went in the dressing room, and it's Chris. And, you know, this is some of the guys. It's George Weingroff. Herbie, his brother, Herbie Weingroff there. Who else was there? Blackie West, God bless his soul.
Oh, yeah.
He was there first time I met Blackie. Who else was on the car? Guy named Ben Mullins from Shelbyville. Some other guys. A guy used to actually became my manager in Nashville and Columbia, a guy named Dale Storm. He was actually working as Dale Corbett at the time. Him and Jim Corbett was they were doing
a brother tag team
together. Yeah, and Chuck Casey and Gary Scott, which is Gary Valiant.
Uh-huh.
He was Gary Scott at the time. And and a guy named Willie Paul Davis, his hillbilly partner. It's like Billy Wayne or something like that. Anyway, so yeah, so I've only worked like tag matches with me and Mark. So Chris comes up and goes, all right, he's gonna have you working Gary.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I go, we're a tag team. He's like, I'm gonna have him go with the other big guy. I came with y'all. I said, Ray, yeah, I'm gonna put them together. I was like, oh, okay, all right, that's fine, that's fine. You know, yeah, appreciate it. And he's like, okay, go about 10, let Gary go over where his finisher is, to have a good little match, you know, 10, don't go over 10.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay. So Gary comes over, he's like, and this before, this was like the first time, if he wasn't the first, and maybe the second time, he had changed his name to Gary Boogie Woogie Boy Valiant.
Oh, okay.
He's always been Gary Scott. So he just started getting, I'm going to do a couple of Jimmy spots, you know, we'll do this, that, you know. And I said, okay, he said, what are you doing? He said, you just starting out? Yeah. I said, what can you do? I said, I can do basic stuff. And he said, well, if I call something and you don't want it, just let me know. We'll keep it easy and simple. I'm just gonna get my boogie stuff over at the beginning. You feel a little heat and we'll come back. And I can't remember what the finish was. It was something. I don't know what his finisher was at the time. I can't remember. It wasn't the boogie blaster, but I don't know what it was. I don't know what he did, but whatever it was. So he's like, okay, we'll do it. I said, okay, cool. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, we haven't been trained. We worked probably 6 matches in Hartsville. With really, really low grade, you know. And I'm sitting there, I'm already nervous, and I go to the suit, and Mark comes up to me, like, man, have you seen the crowd?
Oh, boy.
I said, no. He said, come out here, come out. So we walk out, and he goes, look up, and we look. It's a high school gym. It's Stanley High School.
Uh-huh.
Both sides of the bleachers are full.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, been working in front of 5, 10, 15 people.
Right, right.
I'm scared to death now. I was already nervous, but now I'm just scared.
Right.
So I'm like, okay. What'd you say?
I'm just laughing because I can imagine it right now. Oh. I can imagine that right now.
Yeah, I mean, because we hadn't been through training. We hadn't, you know, none of this stuff, you know, and, you know, there's Chris Champion. George Weingraff just recently come off his, you know, run with Jarrett as the Sheik, you know. And I'm like, oh man, you know, and I know Gary from he was working for Terry Rice at the Boys Club and then doing jobs on Jarrett TV, so I knew who Gary was. I'm like, man, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh. So I was like, okay guys, y'all are up next, and the baby faces could just walk straight down this little hallway and turn there in the gym. Heels had to walk all the way around the school. It was inside, but all around the length of the school to come back in the other side. So I'm like, I hear my music playing. I'm like, oh my God, I was so nervous. I was funny because when they came through, like, you got music? And I was like, well, let me use music here, you know? I was just like, oh my gosh, you know? So I walk all around the side. I'm just so nervous. And I'm about to puke on myself. I'm like, oh my gosh. So my music hits, and I come out there. I don't even think I got any heat. I went straight to the ring. I don't even think I got any heat. I don't even look at the people. I was so scared.
Right, right.
So Gary comes out and does his boogie thing. He goes all the way up in the bleachers, all the way down the other side, all on the other side of the gym, up those bleachers, out there. So I'm like, okay, well, there's 5 minutes. We're going to get about 5 more now. So we go in there. We get in there, and you know, we're doing these little boogie spots, and he's like, get some heat. And I'm like, heat. Oh, okay, I remember. Okay, I cut him off. So I rake his eyes, you know, and I invite him with a big belly, big gut wrench suplex, and I cover him 1, 2 kicks out. I pick him up and I hit him, and he said something, and I thought I catered him, and I was like, oh crap! And he's looking at me, so I hit him again. He's like, he said something. I'm like, I couldn't hear him saying the same. He's like, he was saying, stay on me. And I thought he was saying I was hitting him too hard. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I was just like, I couldn't remember what I did next. So he said, let's go home. And I was like, okay. So we go, you know, getting his comeback. And I bump, and I turn around, I look up. I get clotheslined right across the eyes and the nose.
Oh boy.
And it's George Weingraff.
Oh.
And I said, oh my gosh. And what I was sitting there, and And he hit me. I looked at him, and I went down. I looked at this George, and he starts getting on boogie. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, they know I haven't been trained. They they sent George to the ring to beat me up.
Uh-huh.
You know, because George is a straight shooter, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, they know we're not trained. That's what was going through my head. So I roll out. Chris comes out and makes the save, sets up for him and George in the main event, which I didn't know anything about that.
Right.
And they didn't tell us people hit the ring. So I powder out. I'm getting out of the gym. I go out of the gym. They're still in there. I go over. Now, so I see a water fountain. I'm blowed up. I'm drinking some water. And I look at the corner of my eye, and I heard Hobie say, hey. I turned, and George, like, motioned me when he, you know, waved at me. I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm going to get beat up. So I leave the water fountain. I go around Dennis Hall, and I turn the corner. I was like, I'm going to get beat up. I see Herbie standing there. So I know George is beside him. So I turn around, turn the corner, and George, like, grabs. And I was like, oh, gosh. And he grabbed me. He's like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to close on you in the face. I said, man, I'm so sorry. He's like, it was the last minute Chris told me to hit the ring to set up for our match. I know y'all guys didn't know about it. I'm so sorry. He just got it and set up, and I was right there. He said, I'm sorry about that. I said, oh, man, no problem. Thank you. It's no big deal, you know. I was just like, you know, I was about to crap myself, you know?
Yeah, the whole time you're worried that you've been exposed, and he's out there apologizing to you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and George Roberts, you know, I've seen him work, forever, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so I was just like, oh, you know? So we get to the back of your thing, and I'm sitting there, and, I can't remember. There was hardly anybody in the dressing room. I think it was like me and Blackie and a couple other guys. It was like this dressing room was the locker room of like football. Uh-huh. So it was huge, you know? And I'm sitting there, and Herbie comes up and goes, is that your first match? I said, nah, it's probably maybe fifth or sixth, maybe. He said, okay. I said, was it that bad? He said, no. He said, you're green. He said, but it wasn't that bad. He said, no. He said, it wasn't bad. It wasn't that bad.
Right.
He said, I was like, okay, thank you, you know. I was like, wow, you know. This guy, you know, he's seen wrestling before he was born. So he said, it wasn't that bad. You know, that's pretty good, you know. So, so we that night's over, and Sammy, you know, he's like, get with Chris. I'm like, okay. So we get waiting, and Chris is like, hey, guys. He said, well, you go, guys. Yeah, we got some shows coming up in next month in Lewisburg, Tennessee. And he said, yeah, we'll use your guys. He said, get with Sammy on the money. He said, Sammy handles the money.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay. So, all right, so. He said, call Sammy during the week and he'll give you the dates. So Mark calls Sammy, and Sammy says, okay, I got y'all. It was like the end of February. He said, we got three shows, 3 weeks in a row booked in Lewisburg, three Saturdays in a row. He said, we're going to use you guys, y'all two and Ray. And he says, the pay. He says, the pay's not good. We have a high payroll. And I was like, okay. And Mark's like, okay, what do you know? I was like, he said, and he goes, I'm going to give y'all $10. He said, I know y'all ride together. He said, $10, y'all split it however you want to. So, and I was driving, so we got the $10, and they gave it to me since I drove.
Uh-huh.
But, so, we're like, cool, you know, so a couple weeks, so we went back to Hartsville, because it's like two Saturdays, and then we were going to Lewisburg, so... It was on Friday night. That's right, because they loosened me on Friday night. So we tried to get my schedule switched at work where I'd be off Friday nights, but I had to start working Saturday night, so I couldn't do Hartsville anymore. So, but anyway, so Ray, which is he was living in Hartsville, he would drive to Donaldson.
Meet you at work.
Meet in Donaldson. What's that?
And meet you at work.
Yeah, when I got off where I worked at, when he parked his truck there. Well, actually, he made it there, and we'd follow him over. He had an aunt lived in Donaldson. He parked his truck there at her house.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd leave from Donaldson to Lewisburg. So the first night in, we get down there. Man, they ran out of chairs. There's probably 150 people standing along the walls. It was slammed Pat. And Chris was on the card. I see who's the booker. Reno Riggins was on the card. Blackie West. Who else was on the card? Who else? I'm trying to remember. Ben Mullins guy was on the card. Basically, most of the same people. It was at
Fairview.
The Fairview show. So Boogie wasn't there. George Wondroff wasn't there. There was more people. There was like 10 matches. Chris Kern, that's the first time I ever met Chris Kern.
Uh-huh.
He was on the show. I can't remember. Joey Cagle, he was on the card. Joe Cagle. I want to say Peter R. Miller was, because him and Cagle were traveling together at the time. So I think Peter R. Miller was on the show.
Who was he wrestling as, Peter Miller?
The Mongolian Mauler.
He was the Mongolian Mauler already?
Yeah, he'd been that for as long as I've ever known him. Really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was the Mongolian Mauler. Yeah, because he had the bald head with the little thing of hair spiked up in the front and the black eyes.
Yeah,
first time I've seen anybody wear contacts in wrestling. He had solid black contacts.
Yeah, I would like to get him on the podcast one time. When I was a kid, I saw him in a magazine, and it was like a WrestleWorld magazine where it was kayfabe, but not the same as PWI. You know, they would put real names in parentheses and stuff like that. But I remember seeing the Mongolian Mauler, and he was like, I think his head was like stuck between the top and the bottom rope, and his eyes were all black, and I was like, oh my god, I've got to figure out who this person is, you know, like, I'm in California or something, and I'm just looking at this magazine, and I've never seen this guy before, and I was like, oh, well, this is my new lease on life to find out who this dude is right here, you know?
Yeah, I've never seen him before, or heard of him before, you know, because I heard of Joe Cagle, because I used to get, we used to get these magazines, was it Wrestling Review at the, that was it Norm Kaiser or something like that? He used to do those, he would get that monthly magazine back in the 80s.
Where it
had like every promotion
in
the indies and everything. And I remember seeing, Cagle's name in Out West somewhere. You know, and reading the results, they like, you know, who all was working the promotion that month. I never seen his name there. I never saw him, you know, actually saw him the name or seen, but I remember him, his name being there. So I saw his name before, but I never saw Mongolian Mauler. And I was like, man, this guy. And then after that, I started seeing stuff on him. I can't remember what it was. I want to say, somehow I got some information from, saw his name, where he did a bunch of stuff in Africa.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think it was Steve Bryant was showing this stuff, the old photographer. He was showing his stuff, all his stuff on him. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's been all over the world, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where he made his money. He didn't work a lot of shows in America.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's making his money, you know, overseas and
stuff.
So that's why I didn't really know who he was. Actually, I knew who Joe Cagle was. But, and there were some other people on the show. I can't really remember. Anyway, so we worked a six-man against Ben Mullins. I can't remember who the third person was. And this guy named Bear Man. And, you know, we had no training or nothing, and this Bear Man guy was the worst I've ever seen, pretty much. and he claimed that he worked for Gillis back years in the 70s. Nobody could find information on him or nothing, but he was awful, man. He was so awful. But we had the six man, and we worked. The 3 weeks of work, I don't know who the third person was, but it was me, Mark, and Ray, were Ben Mullins, Bear Man, and a third person, and six man. And then we went over the first week, went over the second week, then the third week, we put them over, and it was, the first blood match. So if you bled, you were first blood elimination. We were putting them over. So, and our manager was Marcus Woody. That was the first time I met Mark. That's the first time I met Marcus. It was at Fairview. I couldn't forget that. That's the first time I ever met him. He was the first guy we got in the dressing room to come up and introduce himself to us. And I was like, man, I like this guy, you know?
Yeah.
He's super nice, talked to everybody. And I was sitting there getting dressed, you know, and didn't know him from Adam. He said, hey, you want some gum? And I was like, okay. And I didn't know what a rib was. You know, I thought it was a joke. I still call them jokes. So I was like, I was thinking to myself, oh, this guy, I've heard about, you know, wrestlers pulling jokes on, you know, the new guys.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I'll take a piece of gum. They gave me a piece of gum, and I looked at it, sniffed it. I was like, and I put it in my mouth, you know, it was fine. I was like, that's cool of him. He didn't give me a piece of gum. He knows who I was. So then we went to Lewisburg, you know, and he was there, and I was talking and thing, and then Chris put him with us, and I was like, it's a cool dude, man, you know. So he put him with us, and the third week we had the blow off, right? The
right.
Blow thing. I think Ray got colors first, but it was my turn, and I got it, and I was leaning on the ropes, and Marcus come over with a towel and was wiping my blood off, and I was like, what are you doing? Because I never got, you know, I was like, I'm bleeding all right, you know? And I didn't get it. You know, he started, I'm like, why are you wiping my blood off? Well, no, don't. I didn't get it that, you know, he's working it, like, trying to wipe it off so they wouldn't see it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But I didn't understand it. I was like, no, don't wipe my blood off. I was proud of my blood. So I was like, I didn't get that until, you know, like a year or two later. I was like, oh, that's why he was wiping my blood off.
Were you nervous for the first time getting color?
No.
No?
Because, well, let me do a little backtracking again. Back when we were in high school, before we were going in the sports arena after the wrestling with each other,
yeah,
we were doing backyard, but not, we had a mattress and we were doing spot, like,
right, tosses, right.
So, you know, we were backyard, but not goose backyard, you know?
Right, right.
We did it as much as in high school, so, you know, we got color and stuff, you know, but it was nothing like you see, you know.
Sure, sure.
You know, when we got hit with a chain, you know, like one chain shot, and, you know, and we did like a little trickle, you know.
Right, sure, but, yeah.
You know, nothing like you say backyard, what you think of the last 20 years backyard, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and so I did it before, so, you know, I wasn't scared to do it. But that's why I was like, you know, I finally got to do it in a real match. So I was like, you know, all proud of it. And Marcus came over to wipe it off. And I was like, no, you know. You know, I was like, I didn't know, you know, I wasn't smart. I wouldn't realize
sure.
it. You know, it was part of the match. It was trying, you know. So I wasn't scared when I did it. But, so, yeah, we did that. And we worked, let's see, they had a show the next month in Pulaski. And they had a show in Lewisburg. They had a show in Lewisburg on Friday, a show on Saturday in Pulaski, and I said, can y'all make both shows? I was like, yeah, sure. And Sammy goes, I tell you what, guys. He said, y'all been getting $10 for three guys. Y'all haven't complained. Y'all are here early. You know, y'all doing good. No complaints from Chris. He said, I'm going to tell you what they do. He said, I know it's a long way if y'all come down and work Lewisburg and after all the way back. You know, then drive all the way back the next night. He said, I tell you what, if you want to do it, he said, I will pay for your room if y'all want to stay down here.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, Lewisburg and Pulaski, you know, it's not, you know, what, 25, 30 minutes from each other, you know?
Right, right.
So he said, so I'm going to drive. See, I lived in, you know, people think you lived in Nashville, so I went to, you know, what, it's not a far, but actually I didn't live in Nashville. I didn't live in Mount Juliet. I lived out in Gladeville.
Oh, wow.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's 35 minutes for me to get to Nashville.
Right, right.
You know? Yeah, so, you know, sometimes even 40 minutes. Cause, I mean, it depends. I mean, I lived out in the country. I mean, way out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you know, and they said, you know, y'all guys coming from Nashville? And we say, yeah, you know, because I work, you know, I work at Nashville Dolphin Center, you know, but, you know, but really, I was coming from Gladeville. So, so he said, you know, we'll pay for y'all's room. I was like, man, I'm, you know, hey, yeah. And so that means we'd have to drive all the way back. You know, that's a haul.
Sure.
So he's like, you know, so I was like, shoot, yeah, we'll take it. He said, okay, I'll get you a couple room rates, this week. I'll get, he said, we got a couple here, hotels here. Lewisburg, I'll get your rates for. And I'll call down to Flash and get you a couple rates. I said, okay. So that Friday night, everybody went to Shoney's after it was over with in Lewisburg on Friday night after the shows.
Uh-huh.
So me, Mark, and, Ray were sitting at a table. Family comes up and goes, hey guys, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I got your things for your rate and your rooms. He said, I can do that. Or I said, if y'all want to buy the biggest steak dinner on the menu, you know, whatever y'all want, I'll pay for that. It come out about the same price. He says, but whatever. He said, what do y'all want to do? I said, we'll do the room. He said, okay. So he pulls out the envelope and hands this envelope. And I want to say it had, I want to say $50 in it.
Uh-huh.
I think it was $50. And, so he gave us this list of room, and I was like, so I don't, I said, well, it's up to y'all. You want to stay here? Because I had one night, decent hotel in Lewisburg, and I said, we stay here, we're about to get up and drive to Pulaski in the morning, you know.
Right.
I said, we can go to Pulaski after you eat and go on down to Pulaski, get a room, and just stay there, you know. So we said, let's just go to Pulaski. We went to Pulaski, and there's three hotels. There were two of them were just dumps, and they had one that was a nice, decent hotel. So we stayed there, and it was probably 2 o'clock in the morning when we got there. We're like, yeah, we got we got this rate on this room. It's for what do they call All Star Wrestling? I said, San Manier All Star Wrestling. They supposed to have this rate, and they're like, oh yeah, here we go. So they gave us dinner, thankfully. So I was like, they told us check out like 11. And I was like, so. We went to do our thing, and, I got up, me and Mark got up, and then, Thomas said, well, so we got down at 11, I said, y'all got, I said, we got, because I think the rate was actually like, I want to say it was like $35.
Oh, yeah.
It was like either $30 or $35. I think it was like, actually, I think it was like $35. So we had, you know, $15 left over.
Right.
I said, we got to pick out 11. I said, we can either stay, and we need to pack ourselves up and, you know, find something to do until 7 o'clock tonight before we go to the show, which there's not much to do in Palacio. I said, or we can add, you know, 20 more bucks of our own money and get another night. So we decided that morning, we're like, okay, let's just go and get another night.
Uh-huh.
So we, $20 inside the safe, so we didn't have to pack all our stuff up and everything. But so we just hung, you know. So we had to get, you know, hang out for 8 hours in town, you know. So we stayed another night.
Right.
We had 2 nights. We had to pay, you know, $20 basically.
You're starting to live like a wrestler now. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
Yeah. It sucks. What was crazy is me and Mark. We got up. We went down there. We paid for the other night and. And he was like, man, I'm hungry. Let's get some breakfast. And so Ray said, I'm going to stay in the room and sleep. So me and Mark go out, and I was like, I'm going to go get some chocolate milk and some donuts. But there's got to be a grocery store around here somewhere. So we're driving around Plaskett, and we find something called the Jitney Jungle. It's a grocery store. So I go in, and I was like, so I got me a big old thing of donuts, and I love chocolate milk. So I was like, I can get me a gallon of chocolate milk, take it back to the room, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Take it back to the room. There's no refrigerator. I'm like, you guys, like, you just, oh, I remember the stupidest things about stuff, but I remember I had this big old jug of chocolate milk, and there's no refrigerator in the room. Well, this was 92, and there was no refrigerator in the room. So I said, I'm going to get an ice machine. So I got the bucket, went to the ice machine, and filled up the sink with ice and put my milk in the bucket. That ain't going to throw it away, man.
Hey, man, that's ingenuity right there.
Yeah, you know, so, like, I'm brushing my teeth. I said, go brush teeth in the bathtub, dude. I gotta have that for my chocolate milk. Those are some of the little things I remember.
Sure.
And you know, and we worked, like, the first time we worked Pulaski, we got to Pulaski and it was like Lewisburg. Wall, it was all the way to the walls.
Right. Cool. Right.
And I had to work first match, or opening match, against Ben Mullins. And we basically, we had, you know, a little, Chris had gone about 6 minutes, you know. He said, do the old, be in charge. He hits the knee, you go down, put your feet on the ropes, 1, 2, 3. And then he said, I'm going to let the crowd stew it off, ref starts it up, restarts, throw your hand down, then schoolboys, 1, 2, 3. So, boom, boom, boom. You know, he put him over. You know, things. So, the main event is Mark against Chris. And I can't remember who Ray worked. So we're sitting there. So Mark is working Chris champion in the main event. So we're sitting there and Chris says, Hey, brother, you got a chain. I said, I'm going to check my bag. I said, I know it's in there somewhere. And Blackie West was sitting there and he goes, well, here, use my chain. And Marshall, I got mine in here. I said, no, use my chain. And, so Marshall's like, okay. So he uses Blackie's chain.
Uh-huh.
And Blackie told him right before, they went in and said, hey brother, what you do, don't put the chain in your mouth. So Marshall's like, okay. You know, we don't. I said, we're green. We're learning. We don't know anything. So Mark. So Mark's like, okay. So they're out there. I can't remember if Marcus, they'd be starting to go hide the chain. He'll hide the chain. And I can't remember if Marcus told Mark, you know, they're hiding it and they're flipping it off and all that. And then I can't remember if Marcus said, put it in your mouth. You know, hide it in your mouth. So Mark puts it in his mouth. And they did the match and everything. And somehow Mark got hurt his shoulder. And so we come to the back and we're sitting there. Mark's sitting in a slumped over hurting. And so I'm sitting there. I done got dressed and everything. I'm sitting there, Ray's sitting on the side. And we're just sitting there. And Blackie West, I'll never forget as long as I live. Blackie West comes over and stands right in front of Mark. He's standing, Mark's got his head down. He's sitting in his chair, he's got his head down looking at the floor because his shoulder's hurting. He ain't saying nothing. Blackie comes over, stands right in front of him, and he just sits there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he just stands there. He's not saying nothing. So we're all looking at what's going on, you know, and we keep looking, and all of a sudden Blackie goes, what was the one thing I told you? And Mark looks up and is like, what? Brother, what was the first, what was the other thing I told you? I said, don't put the chain in my mouth. I told you, do not put the chain in your mouth. What did you do? You put the chain in your mouth. And, he goes, and we're all sitting there, it's like silent, drinking silent.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and so Marcus is sitting there looking at him like, okay. And I goes, I told you not to put that chain in your mouth. Brother, I got AIDS. And Mark's jaw hits the floor. Because here's the kicker. Here's what we had heard after we started working, you know, for Chris and Sammy, and we heard some rumors and stories about Blackie being a homosexual at one time.
Uh-huh.
With another wrestler, and so we're like, and I'm just sitting like, oh my gosh, Mark was already white, but he turned white as a ghost. His jaw hit the floor. And Ray's just like, Ray was sitting there, like, oh my goodness, and I'm and everybody, it's dead silence, man. It was silent,
right?
And Blackie just, he goes, that's the one thing I told you, brother. And you did it. I can't believe I told you, man. Why did you do that? And Marcia's sitting there just speaking. He's like, he's like, he's trying to talk. And I was like, oh my gosh. And Bucky's like shaking his head. He's like, I can't believe, man. Man, why did you do that? Just piling on it. Everybody's just looking. I see Chris just like looking at him, like shaking. Chris is not saying, Chris Chambers just up there shaking his head, not saying a word. And I'm just thinking, like, oh man, this is bad. And this went on for like maybe 5-10 minutes, Quiet. Nobody's saying nothing the whole time. Then Blackie looks at him and said, brother, this is a rib. I'm ribbing you. I ain't got AIDS. And everybody started dying laughing except for Mark. He's still sitting there like he's still pale white, his jaw hitting the floor. And that's like, everybody's laughing except Mark. Mark's not laughing.
Uh-huh.
Mark's like, he gets up and goes over. I think he goes over to the shower or something, but we get done, we're leaving the thing. We're in the car. Man, that's bullcrap. I mean, that wasn't funny. You shouldn't be. He's like, I'm going to whoop his butt and all this and that. And I was like, oh my. I was like, I think Wade started busting out laughing. He's like, man, that was good.
Yeah, yeah. But,
it was because we hadn't seen no, you hear, we first break in, you hear stuff,
Sure.
People, this was what, from November, December, January, February, March, 5 months,
Right, right. So,
I just saw the best rib ever,
Right,
and,
right.
But Mark was mad,
Quentin, on that, we're sitting at over an hour, so we've got we've got about 10 minutes left right now.
Oh, my God. I knew this was going to happen because I tell a story and I put too much into it.
But we know a good leave off spot right now. Black US just told your partner that he had AIDS and just gave it to him.
Yeah.
And so you're 5 months in. So next month when we do this again, we're gonna start right off at that 5 month mark, okay? We're gonna do this again, and then you've got enough stories, man, to get us all the way through the year. Once a month, we'll just sit down and we'll do this all over, and we'll pick up right where we left off. So before the end of this, I was gonna do name association, but I want to just ask you with the time that we have left, I want to ask you a couple of different things. There was always a big rumor about Blackie near the end of his life, about him winning the lottery. Is that a shoot?
Yes.
He actually won the lottery?
Yes.
Was it, now I've heard, I've heard different amounts through different people, but did he hit a jackpot?
I was told that he hit $100,000, and I asked him, one day after, did you get $100,000? He said, yeah. What? I didn't get $100,000 after taxes.
Oh, wow. And then he changed his name to Lucky West, right?
Yeah.
Because the man was lucky.
Yeah. He was, but he wasn't. He was, but he wasn't. He had a really, really messed up life,
And, yeah.
It's sad because, several times he got his life on track and it's just one of those, wrestling horror stories, really, God bless his soul, I love Blackie West, to death, it's sad,
Yeah, yeah.
That, even on an independent level that guys can, wrestling can mess their lives up, on an independent level.
Yeah. There's guys I know, right now, Quentin, that, there's a lot of sadness with some people, There's something in they're missing in their heart or something, and they fill it with the wrong things. Also, give me some, a good Sean Schultz story. I don't know if you heard or not, but, he announced his retirement yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Some issues with his neck and his back. So,
what's that?
I said some issues with his neck and his back. So, any good memories or fond memories you have of him?
No, I really don't. The truth, I really ain't got it because first time I met Sean Schultz was at a Burt Prentice show at Stadium Inn. I want to say three maybe, something like that. And I wasn't working. I just went down to Jablonski and rode down with him. And it's, so actually it was, it had to be 04, early 05, because that's when I had my car wreck, so I wasn't doing anything. So it was either late 04, early 05, maybe. But anyway, I went down to Jablonski, he was booked, and so I never seen the guy before. It was like me, John Michael, what was the guy's name from Alabama? His nose always bled. Oh, I can't remember the guy's name.
J-Rock?
Sorry, the A. Can't remember. Adam Armour?
Yeah, yes, yeah.
Adam Armour?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were there. I never seen these guys before, so it's my song. But yeah, they were there. And then when I started working for Tony, you said, yo, he was working there. But he didn't work there a lot. You know, it was, when I come in, he was kind of on the way out. And he came in there, and then you have, but I never worked a lot of shows with him.
Okay.
Yeah. You know?
Okay.
So I mean, I really, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah, I didn't really know, I wasn't around him much, you know.
Right.
Just here and there, you know. So, but it sucks, I mean, you know, that, you know, but if he's having neck and back problems, you know, and he's young, it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's actually, it's good that he's got kids. Yeah. He's got to get away from it because it's, you know.
Yeah,
it's gonna get worse.
yeah, it will. So, where can people that are listening to this, you know, where can they connect with you?
I was gonna say MySpace. Shows how behind the times I am. What's it called? Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. I got a Facebook. What is it? I'm trying to think. Is it Quentin Charisma Pro Wrestler or Pro Wrestler Quentin Charisma? It's one of them. I think
it's Quentin Charisma
Pro. Which one is it? I don't know.
It's Quentin Charisma Pro Wrestler, and it's Charisma.
That's it.
Charisma with a Q.
That's right. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, you know, I really, Quentin, I really do thank you, for coming on here. And honestly, you know, I'm excited for, you know, with us agreeing to do this on a monthly kind of basis, I'm excited to kind of hear how the journey kind of goes on, you know, how it started one way and just kind of how you move on and everything. And so I'm excited about doing it this way. You know, I think this is going to be a fun thing, and it'll be something to really look forward to once a month to just hear a new chapter in your story, man.
Yeah. The first time I was like, let's do it every week. And I was like, no, cause that just gets, you know, you do it once a month. We can, you know, we kind of spread it out. And
yeah.
Go more detail, I think, you know, and try to cram everything, you know.
Yeah. So yeah. I would rather, me personally, I'd rather hear all the details, and I'd rather hear the stories, you know, so I think it's the best way for us to do it.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool. I love to talk. Once I get talking, it's all, you know, I ramble. So anytime I get to talk, I'm fine. And I love it, you know.
Yeah, I
that's
had
all I got now, you know, all I got is memories. That's all I got now. I have nothing left in me.
Yeah.
Memories, so.
Yeah, I had Chad Austin on the podcast, and you know, when we hit that hour mark, I kind of did the same thing. I was like, all right, we got to wrap it up and everything. And he's like, oh, man, you know, I'm just getting started, man. And I was like, you know, don't worry about it because, you know, I realize that these stories, they're not stories that can be told in an hour. And so that's why I'm trying to space everybody out, because I want to make sure I get a little bit of everything in, you know. I want to make sure that we really were able to because me personally, man, you know, there's something special about that 1990 to 2001 period in pro wrestling that – you know, you go from kind of a low point in the world, and all of a sudden, you know, it's streaming upwards, and it's so exciting. And, you know, I know that I started my training in 2003 with Steve Dahl, and by that time, you know, the wrestling world had already changed so much. And so the stories of you guys that were a part of it and were active in the life during that period, it's interesting, and I think that there's stories that deserve to be told, because without independent wrestling in the 90s, I don't believe that we would have had that big boom on the national level. You know, without those talents working the way that they worked and working against guys like you and coming in through Nashville and then going down to Florida and then going up to – without all that happening, we would have never have gotten that big boom of the national level. So – you know, I hope that everyone takes time to go out and Google you and Chad Austin and everyone that I have on the podcast and everyone that we talk about. You know, I really do hope that wrestling fans take the time to go out and learn about, you know, some of the people that paved the way for others, you know, that are currently out there doing it. So thank you. Thank you very much, Quentin.
Hey, no problem. I can't wait to do it next month, man.
So, of course, thank you to my man, Quentin. I'm expecting a really fantastic rest of the year. You know, once a month on a Sunday, we're going to sit down and we're going to continue the journey with him. You know, just some of the stories he's told me off air. I can't wait for him to tell them on air. Make sure you check out WrestleTopia. You know, make sure you check out the Facebook page for the podcast, facebook.com/90sindiepodcast. WrestleTopia is facebook.com/WrestleTopia WrestleTopia. But honestly, you can just Google WrestleTopia or WrestleTopia TV and everything should pop up. Remember, if you're in the Knoxville area, March 3rd, WrestleTopia is in the house producing an Extreme Eye pay-per-view. Rockwood, Tennessee at the Rockwood Armory, March 3rd. We also have Portland, Tennessee for Pro Wrestling Entertainment coming up in May. Overdrive Pro Wrestling in May, should be a big announcement with that coming up with WrestleTopia TV. So, you know, hopefully this was just as enjoyable for all of you as it was for me to do and record. And I hope you guys follow the journey with Quentin over the next few months. We will be back. I'll probably be doing a podcast with Johnny next week. And then in 2 weeks from today, we are going to do a review show on ECW's November to Remember 95. So thank you all for coming on this journey with me. And remember, tape trading in the 90s was fucking awesome.
Rockwood, Tennessee, are you ready to take it to the extreme? Saturday, March 3rd, 2018 at the Rockwood Armory, WrestleTopia presents MSWA Extreme. One night only. 6 big matches. All going to the extreme. Top talents from around the country. Fantasy, Crystal Fire, The Mechanic, J-Mac, Los Chicanos, Big Bad John, Tommy Coffey, Silas Mason, and the in-ring return of the extreme icon, Ox Harley. All extreme matches. Get your tickets today at MSWA on Facebook, MSWA on Eventbrite. We promise East Tennessee will never be the same.